Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hey everybody, welcome to Unlocking the Magic. You're listening to episode 284, where we are going to grab the keys and unlock our mailbox today to answer your questions.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for the questions. We're going to try to get to as many as we can on this episode.
These questions were sent to us through email, social media platforms. We have Instagram and Facebook and our new texting platform, too.
Give us a text, 978-222-7383. Forgot the number there for a second.
It's all right. There's a lot on your mind because there's a lot of questions here that we got to go through, which I'm excited about. By the way, we do read all your questions. Sometimes it's difficult. Like, we may skip a question here or there. So if we haven't answered your question either through a response on social media or through an email, send it to us again. Do urgent.
And if we don't answer it twice, it means we don't want to answer it.
Yeah.
Not that we don't want to answer it, but maybe we don't have the answers to everything. A lot of these questions that we answer are just kind of like what we would do.
Well, we got to even just reply and say, hey, thanks for your question.
Oh, we do?
That would be nice of us.
That's true. Yeah. You know what? You're right. Let's reply to all of those.
All right. All right. Well, today I'm excited because there's, like I said, a lot of questions. And then there's a couple of would you rather thrown in, which of course is our favorite. I love would you rather scenarios. And so, okay. So we're going to get started right now.
Let's do it.
I didn't know if you wanted to throw anything else in there.
No, just join us on Patreon.
Okay. You usually love to throw in some homework for those listening.
Nah, the only homework I have is go check out Patreon. It's our private Facebook group and community over there. And we do some extra podcast episodes inside of Patreon. We did a live show yesterday, if you're watching this, and a lot of people were like, hey, if you did more episodes, you could get to 500 sooner. Because one of the questions on that live show was, what do we have planned for 500? And I was like, let's get to 300 first. And then they're like, you'd get to 500 a lot faster if you gave more episodes. And I'm like, it's a lot of work to do these podcasts.
Can you tell we're a little cranky with quarantine?
I know, right? But we do extra podcasts. So if you want some extra podcast episodes from us, go check out Patreon.
Awesome. All right. So this one is an anonymous question. Reason being,
like, on purpose, or you just didn't know, like, you didn't find the name?
It's on purpose because it's a newer installment in their family and they didn't necessarily want to announce it yet. But this question comes to us and asks, should I go to Walt Disney World pregnant? Will I still have fun? If I don't go, my toddler will have to wait a couple of years. And there's a sad face emoji.
I mean, I can't answer this question. I don't feel like I'm qualified.
I feel like you can because you were with me a couple times when I was pregnant, right? Walt Disney World. Did you have fun? Did you enjoy me being pregnant?
At Walt Disney World, you mean?
Did you enjoy my company at Walt Disney World while I was pregnant?
Yes.
You did?
Sometimes.
Okay.
I think it depends on... Listen, you're pregnant. Like, you know, it's like, I feel like you, when you were pregnant and we were at Walt Disney World, you were like a toddler.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay.
You had your moments.
Okay, yeah.
And there's, I'll give you that. There's times when you're not going to be able to do everything and you have to, as the husband, realize that and just make sure that you plan rest throughout the day. Like, don't try to get everything done. Just like you would your little kid, right?
Yeah.
Like, make sure you plan a nap time. Make sure you plan a lunch time.
There's an outburst that happens for sure because you can't go on certain things. Like me, I had a little meltdown here and there.
Yeah, so just plan accordingly. It's going to be early nights.
I like that.
Yeah, just as long as you plan accordingly. I think you did a great job.
I think
all kidding aside, I thought you were pregnant. Not only were you pregnant, but we had a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Right. And then before that, the very first time I was pregnant and we had an 8-month-old.
Right. So we've been in a couple different scenarios.
We've been around the block.
It was never like you were just pregnant.
I got to tell you, the only thing that I would say is I had fun Disney pregnant. Like, Disney's fun no matter what. The first pregnancy was easy, so it wasn't really that bad on my feet. I know some people, it's hard on their feet just on a regular thing, never mind pregnant. So that's something you have to just consider on your own and, like, your own personal thing. But ultimately, the only thing I disliked about being pregnant in Disney is truly all of my favorite attractions were things I couldn't really go on. Like, right. I couldn't go on Space Mountain. I couldn't go on all these thrilling attractions that I was really bummed about. So if you're okay with that, then go for it.
Right.
And I think that's, yeah.
I thought you did a great job.
I see by her sad face emoji about her toddler having to wait that she actually really wants to go.
Yeah.
So I say go for it.
Were you looking back on it now, were you really sad that you couldn't go on Space Mountain? Like, did it ruin your trip? Or were you like, you know, I understand.
I mean, I don't want to complain because obviously it was better than nothing. But yeah, kind of did.
Yeah.
Look, I'm a thrill seeker. So Space Mountain, even though I complain about Tower of Terror drops, I do love going on it. So stuff like that, like Everest, like all those attractions really are important to me when we go.
But so. Did you have a good time?
Yeah, I had a good time.
So yeah, so go.
All right. Next one is from Aiden. This one, they're going to Disney World for the very first time. It's the first trip to any park. And there'll be 10 adults, 7 kids. There'll be some members afraid of heights.
Hold up.
Okay.
10 adults, 7 kids.
It's a lot of adults and a lot of children.
Wow. I'm out.
17 people.
I'm out.
He says, we want to have fun together. We will try the toasty Tonganess.
There you go. I'm back in.
Okay. Meeting Kylo Ren. We love Star Wars. We want to hit the most as possible. What are your suggestions?
Can you repeat the question?
So they're going to Walt Disney World for the very first time. It's a big group,
mm-hmm.
right? They love Star Wars. They want to do as much as they possibly can. And they're asking for our advice. Now, here's the thing. It depends on when you're going. I don't know if this is during COVID
right.
or later on, like, because that changes certain things. Because as a Star Wars fan, I got to say, obviously, you got to hit up Galaxy's Edge. That is a phenomenal place. You're probably going to spend a lot of your time there just wandering. But also, what I really love about Hollywood Studios that I hope they continue to do, or they, you know, after everything, they bring it back, is the Star Wars Galactic Spectacular.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's just a fireworks show, but like it's just a fireworks show.
I
right?
would my
but
suggestion.
Not, yeah.
My suggestion would be separate. Don't go all together and do all things all together. I know you're going as a family trip and you want to spend some time together, but I'm telling you this. Take some time in your trip to do some things on your own. And I think that the time you spend together will be much better. Trust me.
Are we assuming Aiden is an adult? What if this is a child? Okay, I'm going to go do anything.
Listen, if you're a child, ask your parents. Make sure you have a phone with you and you're safe.
Ask permission.
It's okay to go do a ride by yourself and get away from the crowd if you're like me. No matter how old you are.
17 people is a lot of different, not so much, it's not that it's a, it is a big group, but it's, you got to remember 17 people, that's a lot of different personalities. And everyone is going to want to take in Disney and their own experience because there are going to be some things that are important to certain people, not so much others. So being afraid of heights and stuff, that's an important thing. But there might be some people in your group that love the thrill and love to go on Tower or whatever. So you want to make sure you separate on that angle. And that's okay. Like, you don't have to do everything together. I think we learned our lesson and really had great experiences with going down with our in-laws and our extended family. Because we factored in all these different things, like, you know, they loved a certain resort based on their preference of theming. And so we didn't have to stay at the same resort, or it was okay to separate for lunch or try different attractions throughout the day. Like, you don't have to be side by side to have a memorable time.
As a matter of fact, you probably would not want to be.
But
the whole time. Because if you want to have a memorable time, I'm telling you, get away from each other a little bit.
Truth from Bruce.
That's right. Listen, I'm here to tell you like it is.
Yeah. But don't you agree the Star Wars Galactic Spectacular, the fireworks show, is awesome?
It is.
I really hope that they can do fireworks again sometime in the future because, again, it's just a fireworks show, but like you have to see it to believe how incredible it is.
Yeah, I would mix it up too. Like, do like some things like maybe you can do that many people. I feel like if you're all trying to be on the same page all the time, that's when you're going to get friction.
Mm.
Like, try to mix it up. Maybe play some games where you like say, all right, we're going to go in 3 different groups and go try to search out for something like
that's
a hidden
cool.
Mickey or some shirts, or see who can go on the ride the fastest, or like see who can spot the hidden things the most, or like break up into teams and like scavenger hunt or something.
You know what I like about that idea is that when you do come together, whether it's for lunch or dinner, you all have different experiences that you can talk about.
Right.
And it makes it really exciting to meet up again.
Right.
I think that was what was fun with when we went down with our extended family was we stayed at separate resorts. So when we met up, it was like this thrilling moment. I'll never forget when we met up at Hollywood Studios and we were all dressed up in the 50s. Like
yes.
We had all these, and we like ran to each other.
Yeah, we did that. We stayed at separate resorts, and then we did it again, and we stayed at the same resort. In the time we stayed at separate resorts, we had a lot more to talk about because we separated, and they would tell us about their resort, and we would tell them about our resort, and like we didn't always go to dinner together.
It was just exciting to meet up again, and it was like another layer of the vacation that was really special.
Right.
All right, next one is a would you rather.
All right, I like these would you rathers.
Would you rather, this is from Steven, who thanked us for the podcast. Thank you, Steven, for sending this awesome would you rather. Would you rather watch Happily Ever After in the hidden spot in the Swiss Family Treehouse? I didn't even know there was such a thing as a hidden spot.
Yeah.
You can hear the music and see half of the projection, but the fireworks are in clear view. Or would you rather watch Happily Ever After from the Contemporary Resort staircase, top floor? There's no music, but an amazing view of the castle and fireworks. In both instances, by the way, you'll be alone with your family, he says.
So we've done one of these. Well, you didn't actually.
Have.
You didn't. We did.
What do you mean?
I don't think we watched from the Contemporary Staircase. Were you with us?
Hold up. I was with you, but I was like probably four stories down.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The treehouse is amazing. And I actually have some pictures that we took from the treehouse at sunset in Walt Disney World that you should go check out on our Instagram. It's an amazing view.
Yeah.
So we also did the Contemporary Staircase. Here's the thing. We were quite a few levels up on the Contemporary. Me and the girls. You were down below because you were
afraid. No, I started to be up there with you guys and then I got nervous.
Yeah, I don't like heights. And there was this one guy who had his daughter on his shoulders near... like on the staircase across the way. So if you're at the Contemporary, there's two staircases. There's one here and then one across the like across the way that you can watch it from. And I was watching him from the staircase we were on and my knees were starting to buckle. Just watching him and his daughter on his shoulders. And heights freak me out.
Okay, we get that.
So I was like, I had to get down right away.
Yet I was the one that came down a lower level.
But it is an amazing view. So if heights aren't an issue for you, the Contemporary Stairway is an amazing view of the fireworks and the Magic Kingdom.
Look, I gotta say, that was an accident. We didn't mean to be there at that time.
Right.
And we just so happened to be there while the fireworks were going off. It was the most thrilling experience because not only was the fireworks a clear shot, we felt like we were on top of them, but the building almost echoed because it was like it's all concrete, right? But it felt like it was vibrating as they were going off. So if you can imagine, we were on the top floor. I just was like, this is a little too much for me. I'm going to go down a level. But it was incredible. So I think I want to do that again and try that.
I'm going to say Swiss Family Treehouse.
You are?
Yeah, I like that.
Your knees buckled a little too much.
Too much, a little bit. And I like being inside the park. I feel like you could be inside the park and absorb it from there.
That's a good point too. All right. And you know, they do say unlock the magic in that show right now. So if you can hear the music and the narration, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I get goosebumps all the time.
That is pretty cool.
All right. Next one is from Jennifer. If you could create your own restaurant at Disney, what would it be and where? Would it be at a resort or a park? What would be the theme? Would it be family style or individual meals? Characters or no? And she has... this one would be just for Connie as far as characters. We all know Bruce's response. And would it be at Disney World or Disneyland? Hmm. Now, we talked about this a little bit on our live, but let's dive into it here.
I forget what I said on the live.
You know, because it depends on your mood, right?
Like, yeah.
You definitely...
oh, I know what I said.
Okay.
It does depend on my mood, though. Like how hungry I am.
Yeah.
If I just ate lunch, maybe it's going to be like a dessert type of restaurant.
Where
maybe
is it going to be?
Starving.
Disneyland or Disney World? How about we start with that?
Anything I want to add. I'm going to Disneyland, I think.
Really?
Yeah, because I like Disneyland. I like it.
You just like it.
I like the vibe over there.
All right.
It's the original.
Okay.
As much as I love Disney World, don't get me wrong, I love Disney World.
But they have a lot of, I feel like in Disneyland, we literally leave so stuffed. Like there's so many food options in Disneyland.
There is, but there's one thing I mentioned on the live show we did yesterday that I would bring to Disneyland, and it desperately needs it.
Go for it.
A New York style pizzeria. Pizza Planet, you are evicted.
That's what you're going to change. Okay,
yes.
Eviction notice.
Eviction notice. I'm closing the doors. No one's allowed in there. I'm saving you all from the dreaded Pizza Planet
Pizza.
Maybe we can keep it
pizza. It's not even pizza. It's Pizza Planet something.
It's not pizza. Trust me. I've been there.
That's not pizza.
It's not even close.
Okay.
Elio's Pizza is better than that.
What? Whoa.
Maybe I would keep the name Pizza Planet, but I would like redo the food there so that way it could hold its head up high. So right now, Pizza Planet in the pizza world walks around with its head in shame.
You really feel passionate about this.
I do.
I feel like this could happen. Like,
Pizza Planet has so much brand equity, and then you walk in there to get a piece of pizza, and you're like, what happened? How can this be possible?
I've never seen the look of disappointment so bad in your face, and you happen to be wearing a Pizza Planet t-shirt that we so... You know, we were so excited to purchase for our Disneyland trip, and you were wearing it with pride. And then all of a sudden you walk in and it was like you just all of a sudden, like just the saddest look in your face. Like yes. I've never seen before.
I wanted to tackle the people ordering pizza just to save them from themselves.
Wait.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Please. Can I come back there and help you recreate this recipe? This is not pizza.
You know, if anything is going to happen with Disney and Bruce, I think this might be your ticket.
So that's what I would do. Yeah. I would want a legit pizzeria inside Pizza Planet. So that way people go there and they're like, Pizza Planet is amazing.
And they wear that shirt with pride after.
Yes, I burned mine after.
You were like, I cannot wear this shirt anymore.
I cannot promote Pizza Planet with any self-respect anymore.
All right, let's get connected with whoever's in charge over there, and let's get you in. Cause, yeah,
somebody message them.
If there's one thing I know you know, and that I know that you know, is pizza.
Yeah, that's pretty much the only thing that I know.
Right. So if anyone's going to take your advice, pizza, you can count on Bruce.
Yes, I'm in.
I like that, Bruce, a lot, and I do feel your passion, and I want to help however I can. I think if I could create any restaurant, actually Disney's doing it in Epcot. It's Space 2020. Like that is... something that I always envisioned, and I think I'm just so excited that it's there. Like, it's going to be there, hopefully opening soon, but that's kind of the theme. Other than that, you know, you can't go wrong with, like, another 40s kind of dark theme, kind of in the play with Haunted Mansion. I know we discussed sort of, or Tower of Terror, where they come around with this fancy feast.
Yes.
And they have, like, the
the chafing dish that comes up.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like very, very...
almost like that Indiana Jones style when they're in the dancing scene in, what is it, the Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Oh, God, no monkey brains, but yeah.
No, not that one. Oh, in the beginning, before they get on the plane and hop out of the plane with the boat that they inflate. Like when he's getting the diamonds.
Yeah.
Like that scene where they're all in tuxedos, it's real fancy.
You have to be dressed up.
Yes.
And they give you like a... like something if you're not fancy, like a bow tie or something as you walk
in. You can't go. It's like you got to be fancy. It's a fancy.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's what I would create. And I don't think I'd have characters, but I would definitely have cast members that are very into the theme so that... actually, I just thought of it. It's literally maybe the party scene in the Haunted Mansion as a restaurant.
That's
what I want. Boom.
There you go.
All right.
All the dust and everything?
All the dust. I welcome it. All right.
Perfect.
Next one is from Michelle. What is your favorite sit-down restaurant, actually, in Walt Disney World? In a park?
It has to be, for me, Liberty Tree Tavern.
Yeah.
In the park. Like, I feel like that's a one that's for me. And it's not the most complicated of food or the most sophisticated. You're going to go there and you're going to get really home-style food.
But that's what makes it so good.
Yeah, but like you're in Liberty Square. You're in the Liberty Tree Tavern. You're in the 1700s.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel that way.
And it's just warm and filling and very relaxing kind of atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's dark in there. And
totally
just,
relaxing. Like, it makes you chill out.
There are no characters. There's no intense theming. And not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just that sometimes you just need a visual and sensory break.
Yes.
And I feel like this restaurant gives you that. It gives you a great meal where you're stuffed. And then you can also kind of have that visual, like, calmness, right?
Yes. Sensory overload, you mean? Like the opposite of that.
Yeah. So it kind of rejuvenates you.
Yeah. So that's always my go-to. And I just like that one. You walk out of there so full.
So
it's not
happy.
A huge decision-making process.
No.
Everything is pretty good.
It's laid out for you.
Yeah. Like that's it. For me, that's the perfect meal.
The hardest decision is, do you care to enjoy more?
Yeah. And I always say yes. So it's not a hard decision for me.
Right? Yes, I care to enjoy more of the dessert.
Look at them like, Like, he's crazy. Sir, would you care to enjoy more? I'm like, is that even a question?
Look at me. Look at the size of me.
Do you think I would care to enjoy less? Come on.
I love that restaurant. I have to say that is probably going to be a close tie with me with that one. And the theming of the sci-fi dining theater, I realized that last trip that we took that how much I really appreciated that restaurant. It's like similar to the tavern where it's like a nice relaxing place where you can unwind, you can separate from your kids a little in a car and just have a nice meal where nothing fancy. Again, the food isn't fantastic, but it's the atmosphere that makes it go the length.
And we've always said this, it's a place where you can be with your kids but not be with your kids.
Right,
that's like the perfect scenario right there.
All right, next one is from Andrea. If you could pick a favorite hour that you have been at Disney that stands out to you the most, which hour would it be? Where were you and what makes it your favorite hour?
I like nighttime. I don't know if there's a particular hour, but it depends on if we're at the, is it, did she say at the Magic Kingdom?
Just any. It just says, where would you be? It doesn't say where, just in Walt Disney World.
All right, well, if that's the last hour of the night, not the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, definitely not.
Because I'm always thinking about how the heck we're going to get out of there.
Let's talk about the least favorite. And for our family, it happens to be right around then where Bruce is starting to panic because he's seeing how long lines are everywhere and is just like worried about how we're going to get to go back to our resort without
being... waiting for 4 hours.
Yes.
By the way, I'm staying at the Contemporary. I know you said you wanted to stay at the Polynesian, but I was looking at rental points for DVC. By the way, if you rent DVC points, reach out to us. Let's barter something.
Oh gosh, okay.
We'll give you some advertising on the podcast. We have a lot of listeners.
All right.
And we can maybe get some points from
you. Why are you so excited? Why'd you throw that in?
Because it was
in?
Just really inexpensive.
Oh yeah.
But I know you said you wanted to stay at the Polynesian on our next visit.
Yeah.
But the Contemporary to me is so amazing just for the fact that you can walk back to the resort afterwards.
So because it's like you want that last hour to be your favorite hour, but you can't because you're just focusing on the journey home.
Only at the Magic Kingdom. At any other park, like the first hour we get there is exciting.
Yeah.
But you realize that you have so many more hours of the day to go. So it's not like you're absorbing it. Like the last hour or two for me at any other park other than the Magic Kingdom, I start to reflect on the day.
Right.
And like, this is maybe the last time we're going to be at this particular park for a while. So I tend to chill out a little bit.
I thought you were going to say your favorite hour is 10 a.m., Polynesian, Tonga Toast.
I mean, that's definitely, she said in the parks though.
No, it just says, where would you be?
Oh, well then that's it. Forget everything I just said.
Where would you be? So it could be any favorite hour that stands out to you in Disney and which hour and where would you be and what makes it your favorite?
I think probably like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, Hollywood Studios.
That is a magical hour. Right around that evening where the lights turn on and you just get to see the park in a totally different light.
Yeah. Crowds start to thin out a little, usually. Maybe sometimes. Not sometimes. But yeah. that's the time for me. It's getting a little cooler, nighttime. There's just something special that happens at night and I love being there at that time. Except for the Magic Kingdom. I wish my goal next time, Contemporary, walk home, stay at the Magic Kingdom so I can absorb that.
The boats to the Polynesian are just as
easy. No, they're not.
Yes, they
are. Did you see the line?
To the Poly? Yeah. It was fine.
No, it was long. Last time we were there, the lines were long. And obviously, it's a different time right now, so maybe that'll be different.
I have many hours that stand out to me when I'm in Disney. One of them in particular is being in Tomorrowland at night, seeing the lights turn on, being in that center of the land makes me feel like anything is possible in the world. It has this nostalgic feel, yet this innovation feel where you can't wait to see what's in store for tomorrow. So that's what I love about Tomorrowland especially. And so that hour always stands out. And then believe it or not, by the pool, like usually 1 o'clock, I'm sitting at any resort pool. I've got a nice smoothie with me. I'm a sucker for those lava smoothies that you can get at they're non-alcoholic and they're just so delicious.
Yes.
It's like a meal, right? And I'm drinking my smoothie and I am just watching the kids are in the pool and everyone's just having a really relaxing time. That's what makes my favorite.
I agree.
All right. Next question.
How many more questions do you have?
Just a couple.
All right. Because I have a couple from Instagram we'll get to.
This is Michelle. If you had to be stuck in a park for a whole week, which one would you choose?
Oh, this is a tough question. I think I'd have to just decide on based on food. Which place would you get sick of the food the least? And which place has the best place to sleep?
I feel like Epcot, you've got all things covered, right? You've got great food.
I feel like Epcot, I would get bored other than the food, though.
Really?
Maybe.
You didn't go to Epcot as a kid, though.
No.
So you can't, that can't, I kind of get
I feel
that.
Like I would get bored. And all there would be is food, which would be great.
Yeah.
I think I'd have to choose Hollywood Studios right now.
Based on the Tower of Terror? You would sleep there, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'd sleep there, actually. But I'd find somewhere to sleep. Galaxy's Edge, that'd be cool to sleep in Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
Really feel like I'm there in real life.
You're there.
On the outpost.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think I'm with you. Hollywood Tower of Terror. I think I would. Well, I'm with you with Hollywood Studios, but I'm going to the Hollywood Tower of Terror Hotel. Because if I'm going to be stuck somewhere, I want to make sure that I enjoy the sleeping quarters. And I think that just, that as spooky as that place is, speaks to me.
Yeah.
So I think I would be
really
happy.
That was
really
a tough choice between Epcot for me and Hollywood Studios.
Okay. What questions do you have? I'm out of questions.
Oh, you're out of questions.
Yes.
Okay. Let me just pull mine up here then, Connie. Thanks for the heads up.
Oh, no problem.
Throwing it right at me.
Yes.
Here we go. What is one ride you try to avoid the most when you go to the parks?
Ooh, that's a great one. Avoid the most.
Is there one ride that you're like, I'll skip this one?
Me? Probably not. I feel like definitely for you, not to like call you out.
Call me out because I don't know. I'm drawing a blank here.
I feel like it's hard to get you on stuff over in Fantasyland. Like it's hard to get you on Peter Pan. It's hard to get you.
That is true. It's not because I don't like Peter Pan.
Yeah.
It's because that wait is brutal.
True. I just feel like I'm a big kid and I'll go on anything. So to me.
Except Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid, I guess.
You try to avoid that. You're like, you go, I'll just wait here.
Tables have turned on Connie.
In the Magic Kingdom, not Little Mermaid in Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. What is it about the Little Mermaid adventures?
Even when we get you on there, not that you complain, but you complain.
I do?
You're like, why did they do this? They should have done this, this, and that. They have all this space, and this is what they did.
I guess I just had high expectations for it.
Yes.
Because it was the expansion of Fantasyland back when, you know, now it feels like forever ago, but it really wasn't that long ago. They had all this technology. And so to me, other than the queue, which is beautiful.
It's just the queue is really long too, but it's really immersive.
I love the queue. But once I'm in there, all I keep thinking about is, wow, this really reminds me of the finding the seas with Nemo and how much I love that one. And it was done years and years ago, but yet still so cool. So it's like, I'm like disappointed because I feel like they could have done better.
Yes.
So this Under the Sea Journey of the Little Mermaid is something I guess I try to avoid.
What is your favorite cuisine at Walt Disney World? Italian, American, Mexican? What is your favorite cuisine?
Italian. I definitely try to change up the cuisines every night. So when we especially on the dining plan, I try to see different things and taste different things each night. But I have to say my favorite is Morocco when we're going to any Mediterranean flavor is my favorite, which I don't even know if that was an option on there, but
it wasn't, but you can add it.
Yeah.
I think they just gave you a couple examples, but you could choose whatever you want.
By the way, it's the Seas with Nemo and Friends. Why do I say that wrong every time?
I think we say a lot wrong.
Yeah.
We're okay with that.
I realize.
Chimichanga? That's going to annoy some people right there.
Well, chimichanga is the way we discovered that that's how you say it in the Boston area. And in certain other areas like Arizona, they say it chimichanga.
Chimichanga sounds weird to me.
I don't know. I got, you know.
Chimichanga sounds like a food. Chimichanga sounds like a dance.
Chimichanga. Let's chimichanga time.
Exactly.
I love it. All right. Anyway, keep going.
So I'm
going
to eat some chimichangas. I'm going to do the chimichanga.
Okay. What were we saying? Food. Food. What's your favorite cuisine?
You said Moroccan.
So when we're in Morocco and that Mediterranean flavors.
I'm going to say Mexican or that Moroccan.
Yeah.
I'm with you on those two.
Those two. Okay.
I like to try things that you don't necessarily eat a lot at home.
Yes.
So try some new stuff.
Okay.
Experiment a little bit. Would you ever stay at the campground at Fort Wilderness?
That was on my bucket list in 2016. And when we just did an episode revising our bucket list, I kind of laughed at myself because I just don't think I could do it.
What, you don't think you could go through with it?
I don't think I can go through with it. I don't think that we're high maintenance.
You are high maintenance.
I feel like we're all high maintenance. I don't know. I mean,
they have electricity though.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe for one night I could pull it off, but definitely not for two.
Yeah, the shower thing would be hard.
And just everything.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you could. I think here's what I think you could do if you stayed at the campgrounds. If it wasn't in a tent.
Yeah.
Like, well, if you rented a camper or a trailer, well, no, you could do it that way.
That's cheating.
That's what a lot of people do there.
I'm saying actually sit, like, sleep in a tent, no camper. Like, the camper is the luxury part. If I had a camper, I could do it.
Who wants to do that?
I'm asking you.
No.
Okay.
Go for it. Have you ever tried baking a Disney Park snack recipe at home? If so, how did it turn out? Have the girls ever done that?
Yes, they did the cinnamon rolls, Gaston cinnamon rolls, and they came out incredible. They made it for Mother's Day. They made it for me specially. I forget where they actually got the recipe. It was either the Disney website or somewhere else, and they came out incredible. Just be careful because they are that good. We've never made Tonga toast or anything, though.
No, I don't know why we haven't made Tonga toast. I feel like it's never going to be the same, and I don't want to ruin it.
Yeah. I feel like it's just, there are certain things that should just not be recreated at home.
We have seen them. There's been a lot of people who tag us, especially on Instagram and Facebook, who do make them at home, and theirs come out looking amazing.
They do.
Why don't they just send those to me?
They could.
Not the photos, but like the real life thing. Goldbelly is a thing now.
Oh.
You can just make some Tonga toast and sell it on Goldbelly.
What's Goldbelly?
It's like a food ordering thing that you can order your favorite food from places around the country.
Goldbelly, that's fun to say.
Yeah, so Tonga toast some Goldbelly to me.
All right.
Or Goldbelly some Tonga toast to me. How do you say that?
I don't know. I'm really afraid we're going to get a lot of Tonga now to our P.O. box.
Yes.
Okay.
No, we didn't say what the P.O. box is.
Okay,
you're safe.
All right. Next question.
If you had to pick one month, when do you think... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to read that one.
Okay.
That's not a good one.
Okay.
Would you rather not have a podcast?
Oh. But...
Or not be able to go to Disney for 4 years?
Oh, gosh. That's too hard. You chose to read that one?
I'm reading them randomly, and sometimes I'm...
Out of all the ones.
I'm thinking...
I can't pick that.
I can.
What?
Podcast, see you later.
Oh, God. I've made so many friends on this podcast that it would be so hard to just stop. But not going to Disney, I don't think I could handle that.
If it's just you staying away from Disney for 4 years,
yeah, that's
or
a long
doing
time.
The podcast, what the heck would we talk about on the podcast if we can't go for 4 years?
First of all, it's only been like 5 months since we've been to Disney last, right?
Yes.
April, May, June, July.
End of February, beginning of March.
So four or five months, yeah. Right? And it feels like 5 years.
It does.
So I don't know if I could do it.
Nobody wants to hear us that much on the podcast. Nobody, like, I feel like I'd just go to Disney.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
All right. Go ahead.
All right.
Next one.
All right. Here we go. Last one. Best ride attraction for two-year-olds.
Ooh. Oh, there's so much in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. Magic Kingdom is great. I always reflect back on the Aladdin ride.
Oh.
And then we went on when we took our oldest daughter. You were actually pregnant with our middle child.
The magic carpet ride.
She was 9 months old.
Yep.
So a lot younger than a two-year-old. And she had a good time. I think that's a great attraction for two-year-olds. They can like feel like they're steering it. It's pretty safe.
I'll never forget the smile.
Pretty safe. Like there's some that are unsafe.
Well,
right. I meant like as a scared parent. When you have a two-year-old, you're like nervous about everything.
You know what though? When you're up high on that attraction, it does feel like thrilling. Like it's weird how Disney is, you're able to do these things with your kids and yet still enjoy yourself as an adult. Like you'd think, oh, that's not going to be that great. You're going to go up and, you know, in the some of the local amusement parks that have, you know, rides for young kids, whatever. It's not that fun for adults. Like you go on, you're like, okay, you know, nice breeze, but whatever.
Walt Disney said he wanted to make Disneyland a place where adults could feel like children and not be embarrassed.
Yeah. Well, they nailed it because a lot of these attractions that you
that's
bring,
not fair because you never feel embarrassed about anything
at
any time. The kids can attest to that.
I definitely never feel embarrassed.
But I never feel embarrassed at Disney.
Yeah.
Only when I sit down for Tonga toast, I kind of feel a little embarrassed because I'm like hovering over it and pushing people away.
Or like when you say, let's get one and you'll share it and you yell at me if I even try to take a bite.
Oh, I'm not embarrassed about that.
Okay. But if you ever see us arguing, it's because of the Tonga.
That is true.
So... Yeah, I know.
Sometimes I'm embarrassed about that. Other than that, I'm not. I'd say Aladdin.
Peter Pan's Flight.
The carousel.
So much fun. Peter Pan's Flight.
Winnie the Pooh.
I mean, Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, if you're... it depends. Like, some scenes may be dark and it's loud in there. But if you're a child, if you like, you could watch YouTube videos to maybe get a feel of it. But once you're in there, it's so much fun. The singing.
I know we just talked about it and said Connie doesn't like it, but Little Mermaid's probably great for 2-year-olds.
I mean, it. Look, I am high maintenance when it comes to attractions, right? Like there's nothing wrong with the Little Mermaid attraction in Walt Disney World and the Magic Kingdom. But as a regular person that goes to Walt Disney World that sees, you know, new things evolving in the parks, whatever, I set high expectations for that.
Right.
Okay. So I don't want to sound like a Debbie, like just like.
Oh, you don't know.
I don't want to sound like a brat,
but not I guess at all. I am.
You're making fun of me.
Good thing this isn't a video podcast.
There are so many, though, I think the Magic Kingdom in particular is a great park for young ones because there are so many things you can do. The People Mover. I mean, there's so many things you can do and enjoy yourself as an adult, yet.
The Magic Kingdom was great when our kids were young because there's a lot they can do, even though there's some attractions they can't.
Yeah.
But there's a lot they can do.
It's a great place.
Yes, and there are a lot of visually appealing attractions for kids that age to keep their attention.
Right. All right. That was the last question.
That's it. 978-222-7383. Send us your questions.
Perfect.
If you want some more podcasts, join us on Patreon. UnlockingTheMagic.com is our website. You can get all the links there. Patreon, us on Instagram, our YouTube channel. Give us a review.
So much to do. Yeah. So little time.
You don't have to do any of it.
Oh.
But if you want to, please, you can do all of it.
5 stars, please.
Yeah, that'd be great. If you have a question, though, send them in. We usually do, we have so many questions that we get in. So we usually do one Q&A podcast a month.
Yeah. And again, if we skipped it and it's something you really want us to answer, you know, don't, you know, feel free to write urgent.
Yeah. Text it to us. 978-222-7383. We respond to all those on there. So
okay.
Those are, if you have a question that you asked us before and we didn't get to, send it in again.
Okay.
What else?
That's it.
All right. See you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you on the next episode.
Bye, everybody.